Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Well, we got a couple of instances of someone in the NBA locking down their better half right now, and another one still looking to find theirs, and some interesting turns and plot twists when it comes to that. Jhené Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Jhené Egwumike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, Jhené, we've got plenty. We actually have a really good Thursday night football game tonight to get to at some point.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots and the Rams. And everyone keeps trying to say, Jhené, the Super Bowl 53 rematch. I'd be very curious to see the amount of guys actually still left on the roster from those respective teams. We know the Patriots' attrition has been crazy, but a very different game, but still a very good one down the stretch of the season for teams that are in one case in the Rams leading that division, and the other in the Patriots still very much in the thick of things in the AFC.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because these are two teams that have sort of flown under the radar but found success as of late. So I am excited for this one.
We have got that going on tonight. We have got, and guys, don't get me started, a midnight release for another Taylor Swift album. Two in one year, Jhené. I mean, what do we do to deserve these blessings? I don't understand it.
I'm excited, too. I love her music, and I think that, what is it, Folklore Part 2, right?
No. So the actual legit name of the album, I believe, is Evermore. It is the sister album, though, of Folklore, the album from Taylor Swift that dropped in the middle of a pandemic, and I would argue saved a lot of lives.
So. Have you watched, you know, her whole Disney Plus thing?
Well, no, I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay,
it
you
yet.
Ain't real. It's all right. That's cute. All you
right,
ain't real.
Listen, you know, it's cute trying to act like I'm not real, like I'm not going to be half a bottle of Cab Deep at midnight waiting for this album to come out and probably shed a few tears, but I'm not real.
It's okay.
I'm not real.
It's okay.
Probably going to stay up and watch that documentary after, though. It seems like a good time to just get it all in one fell swoop. So, Jhené, we've got all that to look forward to, but the NBA season is devolved now, and I'm going to borrow our sounder that's normally saved for must-win and just-win games and say that this NBA season right now seems to be devolving into Harden watch out here on these streets. James Harden and what he will or won't do. Jhené, we spent all yesterday talking about the possibilities of him to the 76ers that had been floated as a place that sources were telling us, all right, he would probably be okay with a trade too. We've heard Brooklyn already bounce around, but now we've got sources out there and people on the internet talking about Miami and the Milwaukee Bucks have entered the chat, Jhené. Are you surprised with either of those team names? Because I think both, for very different reasons, seem a little out of left field.
I am not surprised because I think, again, I keep saying this, James Harden at 31, I believe, years old, this man probably wants to go and win because he's had his fun being the leading scorer, had his fun being an MVP, had his fun being able to redefine the game in a unique way, especially as a lefty with a step back and have a lot of people in their feelings about it. But now he has people in their feelings for a whole different reason. And I feel like once we get this thing rolled out, the block is hot, especially where he's standing right now, just because he names two contenders. And so now it sort of forces the hands of like, oh, snap, if you're Milwaukee, are you going to look at this any differently? If you're Miami, are you going to look at this guy differently? I think every team would love a talent like James Harden, but some teams, like based on what Miami has built, I don't know if that's necessarily a fit. Now, if you're Milwaukee, you pointed this in the pre-show meeting. Can you tell everyone what this means for Milwaukee?
Well, I just looked at this situation, Jhené, because these other teams I looked at, especially with Philadelphia and Brooklyn, there's a lot of ties that made sense. You're right, the Miami, the Heat culture fit is a very, you know, real, I think, participant in this conversation. But then I saw Milwaukee, and I said, wait a minute. You're telling me they're not sounding the alarms in the Bucks front office right now? Like, a high-profile superstar wants to come play in Milwaukee, and it wasn't a homegrown talent like Giannis. What are y'all doing? Run and try and figure out any way to make this happen, because, Jhené, we know what the game is up there. It is keep Giannis at all costs. And after his non-committal comments the other day about that max extension, this feels like something that you've got to at least kick the tires on as hard as humanly possible.
And I think, you know, if we're going to talk about what they would want, of course, getting a James Harden to play with Giannis. Again, their goal was to bring in a point guard primarily that can take the ball handling duties away from Giannis. You know what that means? That means Giannis is more likely running up the court on the perimeter, settles in the paint. You can play five, you know, shooters around him, including Chris Middleton. And that's where he finally will be super productive because that's where he was for most of the time. That's why you wanted that guard. That's why you brought in Jrue Holiday. Adding in a James Harden who stretches the floor and great in isolation can get you two buckets when your team stagnates, it all makes sense. Now, personality-wise, I think Cliff was the one who brought it to our attention. Like, we don't know how these guys, like, this is the most unproblematic big three, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, compared to others. We don't know how that really fits, but I think you do highlight the big thing. Milwaukee now probably has to take a look in the mirror and be like, hold up, before we say no, before we say this can't work, how often do we get stars saying, we want you, or like, I want to play with you? And to me, that's been really, really rare.
Yeah, because Chiney, I guess I look at this situation, and a lot of the talk has been around, you know, making sure Houston can get enough back in this situation. And on the other side, if you're another team wanting the assurance that James Harden, whose contract is up, I believe, after the 21-22 season, that you'd have some long-term assurances. Guess what Milwaukee's not in the business of? Getting to worry about their long-term future. Like, nah, you got to swing and swing big now. Chiney, my question for you, when you look among the sea of folks, because we know with Miami, relative to that situation, it sounds like Tyler Hero hasn't been a part of those conversations. But for Milwaukee, could you argue that if Philly's not going to trade Ben Simmons or Brooklyn wouldn't give up Kyrie Irving, that Chris Middleton might be the best player that anyone could offer Houston in exchange for Harden as a part of a deal?
If I am Houston, I take a real good look at this. Like, I am so serious because, like you mentioned, when it comes to Miami, Bam Adebayo's stuck. Jimmy Butler is stuck in the sense that you want to keep him. And even, like, I think Giannis, people saw Giannis as a destination. This could be a destination if he did not sign that Supermax extension and he could actually play in Miami. Like, I think if they had a choice, if I'm Miami, it's between, Giannis and Harden. I'm probably going Giannis. So they're going to probably be a little bit more skittish on these conversations. If I am Milwaukee, I feel like, all right, if we're going to do this, I do think Chris Middleton would have to be the center of this piece. This is a guy that just became a first-time All-Star. He has really blossomed into his game. He's everything you want in the current state of the NBA. Has size, can shoot, is unproblematic, will do whatever it takes as a good teammate. So if I am Houston and Milwaukee and we're having these conversations, obviously I want to retain Chris Middleton. But if I'm Houston, he is the key piece. And then maybe you throw in a Dante DiVincenzo and maybe a couple picks, a first-round pick or so. But if I'm Houston, I'm good with Chris, because Chris is someone you can actually build around, and also someone that is taking the right steps for a franchise that may not have a superstar but needs to rebuild a team.
Janae, it's super interesting to go back and look at this relative to another big-time trade, because you're talking about outside of Giannis, mortgage whatever you need to, because what have we talked about? That formula in L.A. with two big-time stars did all right last year. And I look back at that L.A. deal that got Anthony Davis over there. They sent Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and the picks, including the number four overall pick in that last draft in that spot. And you could argue, Chiney, I mean, I don't even know if there is an argument that right now Chris Middleton is a more bona fide and more secure stock than any of those guys were at the time. I know what Brandon Ingram has done since and the potential that was there, but Middleton is already more made than any of those guys were at the time of that trade, correct?
The reason why you sent everybody that was on the Lakers and their mama is because Anthony Davis was 26, I believe, at the time. So he's like one of those ascending talents. And by the way, our ESPN rankings ranked him at number 2, which I feel like is in the ballpark of where he deserves to be. But it helps when you play with LeBron James. That bumps you up the rankings, considering LeBron is number 1. And so when I compare that trade and that scenario to what could happen here, obviously the centerpiece here is Giannis. You retain Giannis. That's your whole future. That's your franchise. That's where he blossomed and grew. But Chris, if it's not Chris, then maybe it is finding another piece, and that could be James. I think it's more the synergy, though, the synergy of those two guys working. But there is a difference here. If I'm Chris Middleton, and the reason why, if I'm the Rockets, I attach him as the main piece. He's 29. His game is stepping up, over 20 points per game, unproblematic. Like, to me, this is one of the better options that you can have in a scenario where there are no real good options when your star player is trying to get out.
It's going to be fascinating as this continues to get messier and messier, muddier and muddier, the other names that we start to hear pop up in all this and what that can mean for James Harden going forward. Chiney Ngolo Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chiney Ngolo Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football season is heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you, treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today, at Chiney, at Mike Golic Jr. Coming up next, though, we talked about Thursday Night Football, rematch of Super Bowl 53. Coming up next, the same person who had the most pressure on them then still is shouldering the majority of it now. We'll tell you who that is next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm very weirded out by the fact that now in 2020 seems like the first time we're starting to ask questions, serious questions, like see real heat. Maybe it's because it's internal about one quarterback in the NFL that's getting ready to play on Thursday night. We'll get to that in a second. Chinay Ngwuma Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Ngwuma K. We've also got Kyle Trask coming up in about 10 minutes. Florida's star quarterback. Guy's getting a ton of Heisman buzz right now. For a lot of people, came out of nowhere. It's been beaten into the ground at this point, but didn't start in high school playing behind Derek King there. Came to Florida, was behind Felipe Franks for a while. So pumped to talk to him. But Chinay, what is it about Paul George and people right now? Because we saw the announcement today Adrian Wojnarowski from Aaron Mintz, who's Paul George's agent at CAA, that he was signing a four-year, $190 million max extension to stay with the Clippers. And Chinay, immediately I look up on Twitter, and Pandemic P is trending, and Devin alerts me that apparently an 11-minute video is circulating with a montage of people hitting game-winning shots over Paul George. Devin, can you confirm this?
I can confirm that. Playoff P.
Leave this man alone.
According to Twitter, it's Pandemic P.
Leave this man alone.
I heard another one. Way off P.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Not Playoff P. Way off P. Leave this man alone. Y'all are nasty. Y'all are trifling. This guy is just out here trying to play his game. Clearly, he hasn't been able to, if you heard the last comments he made, I think, on the All the Smoke podcast. But, hey, realistically, he's about 2 years removed from finishing like top three in MVP voting. Now, I know our recency bias makes us feel like he's maybe like not the guy you want to, you know, secure long term, but he still is one of the top upper echelon players in this league. And sometimes we've seen it, like sometimes top players do struggle. I mean, obviously we grade the best as the ability to sustain, like LeBron James and stuff like that. But a lot of times players do struggle and do have down years. And I think especially the way he finished things out, it was clear, it was apparent. We were all in our houses in quarantine and watching the NBA bubble. And so everyone sort of keyed in on this year. But I think in the future, he's a player that you'd actually want on your team. And I think he will show that. But people are right to feel emotions. One of my closest friends is a Clipper fan, and he was like, wait, hold up, why are we doing this now? But I think people will understand in the long term.
We'll have to talk to Clipper Daryl, friend of the program, here in a little bit, gauge the reaction from
Josh,
Clipper Nation.
I'm talking about Josh, but it's okay.
Josh, too. We're glad Chinay has let back in from the doghouse here, who is one of the helpers on her fantasy team that has gone awry during this season. But now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless here on Chinay Ngwuma Jr. So, Chinay, we do have actually a quality game in Thursday Night Football this weekend. Rams-Patriots, the Rams lead the NFC West in that division that's been chaotic this year. But the Patriots in the AFC East, Chinay, a division right now where the Buffalo Bills are the crown jewel at this point. Miami is surging. But have you seen anything down the stretch here from Cam as they started to string together some wins that might indicate that this team still has a sort of playoff push left in it with this year's squad?
I really want to say yes. This is the woman that named her fantasy team, as you mentioned, Super Cam That Bro. You know, like, I want to say yes. But I think right now what we saw, and this is good, they're playing more stable. They had a huge bump in the road at the start of the season, especially when Cam got COVID. And so I think now when we're looking at this team, this is a team that finally has figured out its identity, and it's nothing, you know, crazy. Like, it's not rocket science in the sense that, all right, our strength is running the ball offensively. Like, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to try to do that better than anyone else. We're going to try to defend as well. And so I feel like they know who they are, and they're just trying to be who they are to the best of their abilities, given their limitations. I'm actually curious on the other side of the ball when it comes to the Rams, because I think a lot of people are like, wow, you know, especially given the most chatter has been, for the right reasons, if we're going to say the worst reasons, the NFC East, right? But the NFC West, for the right reasons, this team has really sort of risen as, you know, at the top, or more so the top of the pack. Jared Goff, to me, is really interesting, just because, you know, me coming from the Pac-12, just following how a lot of people are like, okay, maybe not the superstar, gets you every win type of quarterback, but he's serviceable, especially in this McVay system that seems to work to his advantage, minus the turnovers. So how do you evaluate Jared Goff going into, even so far, Junior, this season, but actually spinning it forward in how people tend to say, like, is this our guy for the long term?
Well, it gets uncomfortable here, Chinay, in this matchup in particular, because that Rams Super Bowl run from a couple years ago that already feels like a lifetime ago after how last season went for them, is a really interesting way to frame this conversation. And Shanae, you know how this goes. Sometimes there are certain people in sports that have your number, and I think a lot of people looked at what the Patriots did defensively in that Super Bowl against the Rams. We know that 6-1 front on defense there boxed in a lot of the things, because that system that Sean McVay runs is one that is incredibly quarterback friendly. Schemes open so many throws. We'll talk to Dan Orlovsky in a little bit about how much that can help a quarterback to always know where wins are. But it's when they took away those easy wins, it was the difference in that game in the Super Bowl, saying this quarterback is not going to be the one to beat us. And now he's hearing it from his head coach, Sean McVay, who is, I think, dealt as delicately with their quarterback as anyone would, is a great leader. But now, and you know, there's a difference, Janae. I think we talk about this all the time with Mike Tomlin, but when your coach is saying that out loud, say it the quiet thing loud, we need better play from the guy we took one overall and gave second contract money to, I have a feeling that's going to resonate a lot more with Jared Goff than maybe everything we've seen so far.
But how concerned are you? Because, you know, seeing this nugget where when Jared Goff has been under pressure this season, his completion percentage has plummeted from 68% to 41%. So as much as you can sort of scheme around him, you can't stop things that are out of your control on a play-by-play, possession-by-possession basis. And so I guess, what is the greater limitation here? Or do you think that, like you said, you know, as players, you want to hear what your coach says, good or bad, and be coachable? And he seems to be coachable. But do you have, like, greater concerns here? Or do you think that this is actually trending in the right direction, minus the turnovers that we've seen most recently? Now he's trying to correct that and keep them atop of their division.
I think Jared Goff is who he is at this point, Shanae. I think he's a quarterback that probably a Baker Mayfield with a Hemi is the way I've looked at Jared Goff. I think when asked to, he's capable of making a few more splash plays on his own than Baker has, what he's shown thus far. But this is a team that, make no mistake, the headliner is always going to be Sean McVay. The headliner is always going to be the twins they have on defense, Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald on that side of the ball. They're real high profiles. I forget their names on national radio. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A name that we can't forget, though, and a name that no one's going to forget down the season in college football, is Kyle Trask, Florida star quarterback. Going to join him next and try and see the view this team is taking down the stretch of a season unlike any other. We're going to do that after this word from Mercedes-Benz. If you ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes, drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Probably the problems all started when I put on the glasses this segment. I think that was it. It was probably the issue there. Start with a network, no issue here, of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, that's tailored to your lifestyle, with options like blind spot assist and MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and so much more. So whether you're enjoying life out on the trail or working hard on the job, you can see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now with IRS Section 179, businesses could be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Now, options and model availability may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described is optional. That $5,439 tax savings is based on a 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim the full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. What's it like being a big-time quarterback in the middle of a pandemic? We'll ask next on Shanae and Golic Jr.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Shanae Agwumike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we've spent so much time this week, Shanae, talking about what's going on in the world of college football with Ohio State, the Big Ten, and all the changes being made in a chaotic year, that it's probably time that we catch up with what's actually going on the field. And to do that, we were really excited. We got a chance to catch up earlier today with Florida quarterback Kyle Trask, one of the guys that is going to be involved in the Heisman conversation for the rest of the year, quarterback for the number 6 ranked team in the country. Here was that interview with Kyle earlier today. And joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, one of the names you're going to hear buzzing around the Heisman Trophy conversation down the stretch of this college football season, Florida Gators star quarterback Kyle Trask with us now. And Kyle, we appreciate the time today. Obviously, you're a guy who's a busy guy, a guy in demand, and a guy who's being asked a lot about the Heisman. So I'm going to ask you instead, have you yet thrown a touchdown this season? Because you've thrown a lot of them this season. You're in record-setting territory. Have you thrown a touchdown to an offensive lineman on your team yet this season? And if not, why?
Unfortunately not, you know. I'll let Coach Mullen know that we need to put that play in.
Here with Kyle Trask, Florida quarterback, here with us on Janae and Golic Jr. Now, this has been a really interesting year, a season like no other. How important, how meaningful has it been to have the opportunity to play this year?
It means a lot. You know, you see every single weekend there's games getting canceled, you know, left and right. So, honestly, every opportunity that we have to play on Saturday is a blessing because, you know, a lot of people don't get to play when their games get canceled.
And that's been a difficult part, trying to manage all that, Kyle, this year. I'm curious for you guys, especially down the stretch now, what is Coach Mullen telling you guys about what's left of this season and the way you guys need to approach it, especially given all of the rising numbers in a lot of places when it comes to COVID?
Really just to stay locked in and, you know, continue to do what we've been doing the whole entire season. You know, from the jump, I think him and his staff put together a great plan for us. We knew there was going to be a lot of adversity and, you know, changing things on the fly this year. But I think we did a great job of handling things. And, you know, other than that, you know, just keep on taking it one week at a time and try to improve every week.
Absolutely. And Kyle, you've got one of the best weapons in college football in Kyle Pitts, your tight end. Was there ever a moment where you're like, wow, this guy is destined for greatness? It's got to be fun to suit up with him every time.
Yeah, there's not a particular play, but, I mean, I knew he was going to be great ever since he stepped foot on campus. I think all the coaches did, too. I think the coaching staff did a great job developing him into the player that you see on Saturdays now. You know, he came in a couple years ago, and, you know, we were both on the second team then, and, you know, we kind of were building that chemistry, and now it's blossomed into what you see now.
Kyle Trask with us, Florida Gators star quarterback on Janae and Golic Jr. And Kyle, I am curious, between what you've got with Pitts, what you've got with Kadarius Toney, who's one of the most unique athletes in college football, what's the freakiest thing on the football field, on the basketball court, somewhere else athletically that you've seen one of those guys do? Because I've got to imagine they're impressive.
I mean, fortunately for me, I get to see some pretty freaky things every single day. You know, we got so many weapons, on the offensive side of the ball. You know, there's a day we're playing basketball and, you know, people are doing, you know, 360 dunks left and right. So it's pretty amazing, you know, for me to just, you know, have all those weapons and have all these athletes around me, and especially for this offense, for us to be productive. It's awesome.
Now, Kyle, for you guys, I'm curious, this offense, you know, Dan Mullen, your head coach, is someone who's known with his work with quarterbacks over the years. So what stuck out to you? We see him, you know, firing people up on the sideline, getting into arguments, as he says, about Christmas decorations and when they go up. But for you as a quarterback, what's he like and what do you take out of that experience for a guy so well known with this position?
Right. I mean, he's great. You know, he's got a huge repertoire of quarterbacks under his belt. And I think he's done that because of the way he can make it simple for, you know, anybody. He can, no matter who's in the game, he's going to be able to play to their strengths. And, you know, he's always going to have constant communication on the sidelines about, you know, the defensive looks that we're getting. And, you know, try to simple things up for you because, you know, you got so many things to look at the line of scrimmage. So the simpler it is for us, then the better it's going to be for his offense.
And simple is nice, and simple has been anything but for most of this season in COVID-19. But I'm curious for you guys now. You've been at 6 in the college football playoff rankings here, and you guys, you know, are aware of things that go on, and you see in the rankings Ohio State now has some things changed around in the Big Ten to give them an opportunity in the Big Ten title game, which could complicate things for you guys. How dialed into you are you guys to your place in the rankings and the path before you to the playoff?
You know, as a team, you know, we don't really know a whole lot of, you know, what's going on in other conferences, but, you know, we're just, you know we pretty much control our own destiny. You know, these next two games are very, very important. And, you know, like I said before, we're just going to take them one game at a time. And, you know, if we go 2-0 these next 2 weeks, then we should be where, you know, where we want to be.
And we know part of that goes through Alabama, as always. It goes through LSU this weekend for you guys. You're going to be Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. That team, the defending champions from last year, but obviously been a very different season. So what do you see looking towards this weekend that you're excited about going against this LSU team?
You know, it's always exciting to get to play LSU, big-time rivalry game for us. You know, unfortunately, we couldn't get the win against them last year. You know, it was kind of a tight game. We made just one too many mistakes. So, you know, we'll be looking to clean things up this year and just play a solid football game from start to finish.
Awesome stuff, Kyle. Well, we're expecting another very solid outing and probably a lot better than that based on the way you guys have played so far this year. We appreciate the time, man. Stay healthy.
Thanks,
best
Kyle.
Of luck with the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Awesome getting to catch up with Kyle Trask, star quarterback for the Florida Gators, and someone's got to fire our continuity editor because I wasn't wearing glasses in that interview. So mask fully off in this situation. But, Chinee, we mentioned that they are getting ready to take on LSU this weekend, and it has been an abysmal year for the Tigers in a lot of ways after one of the most unforgettable college football seasons ever. And we've got some new news out of that program relative to the NCAA that we're going to get here in just a second, because I feel like, and coming up next, what we've seen this year from LSU might have us going back to revisit and maybe even appreciate more some things that happened last year. We'll get to that next. It's Chinee Ngoli Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinee Ngoli Jr., the podcast.
Chinee Ngoli Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And sometimes you just need it like that. Sometimes you just need to be reminded that things are going to be all right. Like when you wake up early in the morning and get the news, surprisingly, that Taylor Swift is releasing a second studio album this year. Chinee, I just can't let it go. I'm sorry. I want to, but I can't.
I'm just looking at you actually right now, as you can see us on ESPN Plus. We're both wearing hoodies. We're both wearing glasses. It's totally like fall / winter crossover weather apparel that we're exuberating. And I feel like we've like hit our couple stride here, our work couple stride. Because like we're looking like each other, not even trying.
That is true. God, we are cute as hell right now. Look at us go. Doing the damn thing right now for everyone.
Hell
now.
No.
What? Whoa, all right. And here comes hating you know what Cliff right now. What you're really gonna knock us down for dressing the part of radio host, trying to be comfortable during winter in the middle of a global pandemic where everyone is just trying to keep their mental health above water, Cliff?
Keep it simple, yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's it.
All right, that's fair. You know what? Honestly, that's fair enough. I applaud Cliff for keeping it simple in this instance. We'll take a look coming up in a bit because we mentioned really good Thursday night game tonight. And the NFC West, Chinee, relative to the NFC East, has been a really interesting conversation on the way that division's gone. Chaos, some teams that we thought were going to perform well, starting to underperform a little bit now. That same thing could be said about Tampa Bay. Have they opened up the door at all to that next group of NFC teams as they sit now 7-5 on this season? We'll tell you one X factor for Tampa Bay that's made all the difference and not in the way that you're thinking of in about 10 minutes here. But we do have more news out of college football, Chinee. We just talked to Kyle Trask, quarterback from Florida. They're getting set to play LSU this weekend. LSU, who sits at 3-5 in a year where you can be sub-500 and make a bowl game. They said, if you're playing this year, you're eligible for a bowl game. They have now gone out and voluntarily self-imposed a postseason ban for this season. Now, last month, Chinee, they self-imposed eight scholarships lost over the next 2 years. In this program, as a part of this, they were a program that was charged with a level 3 violation involving Odell Beckham Jr., who gave, remember, that $2,000 cash to four Tigers players on the field after that national championship win against Clemson. So, Chinee, this instance really, you know, it's less about that. We obviously remember that with Odell, and more for me, just where this LSU team is, because most of this year was an eye roll at people saying, oh yeah, the 3-5 LSU team going to not go to a postseason bowl. I'm sure they're really going to miss that, but it just reminds me how far they've fallen and how quickly, Chinee.
Yeah, it's really strange. I know, looking at the scores and what teams are doing to them, and it's not normal for a team to, you know, the following year to have that type of turn. But again, they were a team that set the record when it came to offensively in the history of collegiate football. And then also the talent that just departed for the next level, obviously that hurts. And then you have opt-outs. And so, yeah, this has been a really tough year for LSU. But I do think, and I think at times we do have to commend people for actually admitting they were wrong and doing something that shows that we know we were wrong, self-imposing those, was it 8 scholarship players that no longer are going to be available for this little time period. So, like, I'm glad they're doing this and also saying, okay, no bowl game here, like, this year. But, like, you look at their record, what are they, 3-5?
Yep.
3-5, and then they likely could be 3-6 facing Florida this week. I'm not surprised at this timing, but I am glad that they did do the right thing, even if it comes at the hand of, oh, we're working jointly with the NCAA to make sure, like, we talked about this, these are our violations, and this is how we feel the appropriate punishment is happening.
It's also not something that I'm mad about. Like, to me, and I don't know where you stand on this, but an instance of where the impropriety is you're giving players money for being really good, I'm sorry, that's just not a thing that I really can get mad about at this point, when it's the thing that most of us agree should be happening in some way, shape, or form in this spot. Like, they got caught doing what we imagine most of college football does in one way, shape, or form. Now, the way Odell did it certainly is pretty overt. We all said at the time, made no sense doing it out in the open like that.
And also to note that Odell, didn't he receive a ban himself now from LSU?
From LSU, yeah.
For like the next year or two, which I was like, oh, that's your recruiting tool, but I get that you have to show off this image that we don't tolerate this type of stuff. But yeah, that type of year for them.
It is. And so, again, I'm not going to, you know, rake them over the coals for going out here and being caught in this instance and doing all that. But it's just surprising to hear Coach O talking about we're going to need post-grad, you know, graduate transfers to help us next year, when this is a place that for so long has recruited so well. That part of it's surprising. But, Chiney, them, you know, self-imposed postseason ban this year is not something that's going to, I think, sound a lot of alarms for people. But I thought it was interesting, as we've talked so much about player opt-outs in the world of college football late in the season as teams are out of contention. What do you make of this, Chiney? An entire team, Boston College, who is going to finish the season 6-5, their 5 wins in the ACC this season are its most since 2009. Jeff Hafley in year one has looked every bit like a coach capable of bringing that program back to where they believe it belongs. And they've opted to not participate in a bowl game this upcoming bowl season. How surprised are you that a team who would have the opportunity to in this season would say no to this?
Not surprised at all. Not surprised. And this is what I keep saying. When it comes to athletes, I know, again, we are facing so many unique situations this year with COVID and the landscape that we're in. This year has just been unparalleled, unprecedented. But when it comes to sports and how we try to be a part of, you know, bringing people happiness, there is sacrifice being made by the student athletes and the athletes in that position where, all right, to find success, I will use this one example. And I think I told you this earlier. My sister was in the bubble. The Sparks team made the conscious decision that our one field trip where, you know, if in the bubble, you have one trip out of the bubble to go to the beach, a private section of the beach that they have curated from Human Life so that the athletes can go and have a good time. A lot of teams said yes to that, but our team, the Sparks, said no, we're not going on a beach trip because we don't know the elements. And if it's going to put us in a position to be safer in the long term, we're going to make that sacrifice. And so, like, there's small sacrifices happening throughout the landscape of sports where athletes are trying to make the right decision, stay away from family, stay away from friends, so that we competitively might have an advantage here just by making these additional sacrifices. And Coach Jeff Hafley, I read this quote, "For them to stay healthy and stay away from COVID, it took more out of them than anybody has any idea. They're worn out. As we look now with other teams continuing to battle COVID, it's getting worse. And for us to go 3 weeks of practice, continue to stay healthy, continue to stay away from our families, and then not know, is the bowl game really going to happen? Are we going to miss Christmas with our families and then be told on the 25th that we're not going to play?" These are the realities that are weighing on a lot of people's minds. And I think as leaders of teams, these are the decisions that they're going to make to at least help the mental health of the athletes that have made these sacrifices.
And Chiney, it's a reminder for people. This is how strained it's been for a lot of these programs, because for college football coaches, for a coach that's starting to build a program, the bowl games that a lot of people say are meaningless are about the practices. You get another spring ball. You get 15 bowl practices that you can use that are gold, manna from heaven for a young team. If a coach is willingly turning that down, and if we see more of that happen, let that be the reminder of just how difficult this has been on the players that have put it all on the line to be out there and entertain people on Saturdays and to try and accomplish what means so much. attached to them. Let this be the note that comes out of this decision from Jeff Hafley and Boston College. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Nothing coming easy, certainly, in the world of college football. Nothing easy down the stretch in the NFL either, as we've seen on Tuesday night already. But coming up next, who's waiting in the wings in the NFC to try and make their claim? Next on Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.